I know in some congregations, suddenly it took me by surprise. Some congregations, it's the tradition that when the Word of God is read, that everybody stands for. Others look around and say, why? It would be out of respect for God's Word, but I don't see anybody moving like they're about to stand up. And I intend to read the whole fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. So as I stumble over words sometimes and sometimes read very well and quickly, it might be inconsiderate of me to ask you to stand as I make my way through that. But let us bow in prayer. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your love, before the foundation of the world, you knew us. You called us. You called us in the only begotten Son, Jesus, who came and suffered and died and paid the penalty for our sins, that we might be adopted as your sons and daughters. We thank you for that. We thank you that not only did you send Jesus Christ, who the Bible tells us is the living word, but you also gave us your written word. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open our ears, our hearts, our minds to listen to your word, and that you'll guard the words of my mouth as I try to explain the word, to give insights into it, that we might all be transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ, that our daily lives may glorify him. We pray these things in his name. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. Nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, we set forth the truth plainly. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of non-believers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit or faith or of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let us again bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. We have just read over some very important words that may be new or haven't been read in a while for some of us, and for others, even as I have read them many times over the last few days, still speak to my heart. Please open your word to us this morning, that we might be conformed more to the image of Jesus Christ, so that our daily lives, our lives at home, our lives at school or at work, may more reflect Jesus for his glory and honor. We pray in his matchless name. Amen. As I read and study and tried to learn and grow, one author wrote something to this effect that I thought sounds good, so I'd share it with you. Bringing God to bear on every step you take is to walk with God. Suffering tests the genuineness of ministry. Every day in our lives, we encounter different people, we encounter different struggles, different problems. At times we feel very afflicted. Sometimes we feel more conflicted. The idea is we're sort of confused. We feel like we're brilliant. Well, as learned in a therapy class a long time ago, there's something called a double bind, and some of us feel like we're there frequently, where we're told, go that way right now. And we go, huh? that leads to a little being perplexed, confused. For some, it says, that's the time when it's time to pray. That made me think very recently about a friend of mine that's a tree surgeon. Had a next-door neighbor say something to me about they hadn't noticed before. They had this pine tree that very close to the back of their house, and it had started splitting. And they had noticed that split between two forks in it had expanded about a foot. And one of the forks seemed to be leaning much more towards their house. And they happened to know that I used to do some tree work. I used to climb trees, but they weren't going to ask me to do it. But they said, who do we call? And the friend that I happened to call is very good. And he's somebody that I happen to have taught a little bit with regard to his tree climbing, but he handled the tree very well. But I know at one point while he was up in that tree, he told me, well, while he was still in the tree, he had dropped most of the things that were important. But he let it and said, oh, before I did that, I just had to pray. Well, the Bible tells us in everything, thank God. How do you do that unless you're praying and talking to Him? The Bible tells us be anxious for anything, for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to Him, and He will guard your hearts and your minds, that He will give you peace. So each one of us should be people of prayer. If we're going to give Him thanks in everything, we're praying. If we're being anxious for nothing but in everything, we're talking to Him about the problems, we're praying. Well, back to the idea of in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here, there's a couple themes here. There's the fact that we are called into this world. We're to face different things. There's going to be suffering. But in everything, we take our concerns to Him. In this world, we have an adversary, the devil, or Satan, the accuser of the saints. The Bible teaches that Satan is the ruler of this world, or somebody put the God with a small g, the God of this world. He is a tremendously powerful being. Even as many of the angels are powerful beings, the devil and all his demons were angels. But the devil is the ruler of this world. He is our foe. But Jesus Christ is more powerful. He is our Savior. He is our intercessor. Satan works and tries to blind men to a couple different things. But the most important thing for Satan to blind you to is the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died but didn't just die. He died to pay the price for your sins. Every one of us is a sinner. But Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And as we sang in the hymns, we will go, we will rise with him. He will return, and we will rise with him to the presence of the Almighty God. Well, Satan wants to keep the lost world. Well, as one person put it, he wants to keep the people in this lost world in something like a prison. The prison is a house of sin with no way out. I can remember years ago when I was in college that I took place in a haunted house that the Youth for Christ people did that as a fun thing, and let kids go through this haunted house and get scared and scream and holler and have fun. But in that haunted house, it seemed sometimes like there was no way out. And sometimes in this life, as we look around us, we can feel like there's economic problems, there's wars here, there's wars there, there's rumors of other wars, there's strife between the races. Although biblically, I only think there's one race. There's the human race. After that, it's just a matter of tribes. But that's a matter of just picking words and using them to make a point here or there. But we have conflicts. There are tribes. There are races. There's conflicts between them. And we see it in the news every day. If you listen to the radio, read newspapers, watch TV. But we don't have to be worried about the things that we face in this life. In this life, we should be a light. We are like, we have been given a treasure of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we carry about things as in jars of clay. Jars of clay made me think back to, in Judges, the story of Joshua. At one point where they surrounded a city, and they all had torches inside jars or vases. And then they shattered the jars and let the light shine. And the sudden change to light, all the people that were surrounded got all confused. They turned around and killed each other. And Joshua and those of Israel were all safe. I don't know if any of you feel persecuted from time to time as things go in this world, in this country. We're so blessed. We've got a great country. We've got tremendous freedoms. My opinion, which is a very good one if you want to know it. At times, we've made some great choices about our political leaders. And at times, some of our choices were not so good. Because I'm sure we have a lot of differing opinions. And I recognize that I am a fallen human being. And my opinion has been proven to be wrong before. If you'd like to know about any particular thing, I'll talk about it, but I won't preach it. In this world, we may be persecuted. We may be pressured from different sides. But we've never been forsaken. We may feel pressured, but from an eternal prospect, we've never been overpowered, because God has made eternal promises that He is with us, that He will never leave us or forsake us. We do suffer much in this world, and sometimes it's for the sake of the gospel. In our future, it may be more, as the prayers that were prayed earlier took into things like our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. If you've paid attention to the news, seen things, hopefully some of you haven't. But many Christians have gone ahead and been executed in Afghanistan because they were Westerners or Americans, but also because they were followers of Jesus Christ. In this world, you may be persecuted. You may encounter troubles. But we are given an eternal hope. Jesus Christ has promised that He will return. And that one day, if we're still walking around, if we're still alive, we will be gathered up with Him. If we're already in the grave, He will bring us back. And He will take us with Him victoriously in His presence to everlasting glory in heaven. In this world, we can suffer, we can have troubles, but we have the never-failing promises of Jesus Christ, the everlasting promises of God Almighty, that He will never leave us or forsake us, and that one day we will be with Him in glory. We will be with Him in heaven. If you have saving faith, where you confess that you are a sinner, but you have faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, then one day He will come again. And when He comes again, He will gather you with Him. Those that are still alive first will gather Him, and then those who have died will be called, and that you will have an eternal home in the presence of God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, to whom we're told many times in Scripture, "Give thanks to the Lord." Let us bow in prayer again. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sending the Son. Thank you for the promises to always be with us. I know, Lord, that as I got to moving along, I lost my place several times, and I know I said some things that weren't in my notes and probably left some things out, but by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you will instruct us on how to be more Christ-like, but how to be living examples, be shining lights to those in our family first, and then to those we live with in our community, live with in our school, live with at our work. That our lives might reflect the light, that we will be a shining light to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.